The cross. It rests on the timeline of history like a compelling diamond. Its tragedy summons all sufferers. Its absurdity attracts all critics. Its hope lures all searchers. My, what a piece of wood. History has idolized it and despised it, gold-plated it and burned it, worn it and trashed it. History has done everything to it, but ignore it. You see, that's one option that the cross does not offer. No one can ignore it. You cannot ignore a piece of lumber that suspends the greatest claim in history. A crucified carpenter claiming to be God on earth. The cross. Its bottom line is sobering. If the account is true, then it is history's hinge. If it is not, it's history's hoax. On that first Easter morning, the kingdom of death was repossessed and hope took up the payments. But even Easter has to start with the cross. I'm curious, how many of you here tonight, you enjoy having your picture taken? You see, most of us tend to hide from cameras. We find ways of getting away from it. But tonight, as we dig in, Matthew is taking some pictures of people that are at the cross. And all of you here are in one of those pictures. See, no one escapes his snapshot. And as we look through this photo album tonight of the cross, we will look for your face in one of the crowds at the cross. Tonight's message is titled, Your Face in the Crowd. And we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 through 54. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there and follow along with me if you want. If not, the words will be posted right up here for you. The very first picture that we have is of those who were forced to the cross. And our text reads like this. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered Jesus wine to drink, and it was mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now, what I want to do is I just want to hone in on part of verse 32. And they forced him to carry the cross. You see, Simon was a common Jewish name. He was a local believer. He wasn't some pagan that was tricked into church by some potluck. He was a churchgoer that knew that God would send a Messiah, would send a Savior. This picture that we're looking at, this first one, it only has one man in it. And that is Simon, a man forced to the cross. Only one sentence announces his presence. Only 20 English words describe his encounter with the cross. In fact, it is only 14 Greek words that denote his presence. But is he the only one that is in that picture? I doubt it. Some in this room tonight feel just like Simon, forced to carry the cross. So before we turn the page of this photo album, look at your face. Are you in this picture? Some are forced to the cross because of family. How about a husband that feels obligated? A mother who comes only for her children. How about a preacher who has to come in order to get paid? Yeah. Even some of us always wanting to be near the cross. Or how about some who have come out simply out of tradition? See, everyone that I've mentioned have one common thread that is laced through this picture. And that is that they are forced to the cross. So here's a lesson that we need to learn. Out of everyone in the three photos that we're going to look at tonight, Simon, this religious guy, he is the closest to the cross. but he has never changed by it. That horizontal beam of God's love was on his very back. But never in the rest of the New Testament do we hear of his conversion. Never do we see him run home and tell his wife that he carried the cross for God. So I guess this is what we learned from the first picture. You can be close to the cross, but far from Christ. But Simon is not the only religious huckster that is in this photo album. The second picture that we're going to look at is also a picture of the churchgoer. The religious hypocrites, the surface believers, the ones that touch the cross, but they never let the cross touch them. The second picture is of those who were foolish at the cross. And that picture is found in verses 38 through 44. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "He, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priest, the teachers of the laws and the elders, they mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. See, there are at least three different groups of people that are found in this second picture: the soldiers, the crowd, and the religious leaders. And possibly your face could be painted in this scene. See, these are the people that make a mockery of the cross. Some people are silent, and some people are very vocal about their opposition to the cross. See, the soldiers, they make me think of us, the religious, those of us who claim heritage to the cross. I'm thinking of all of us here tonight, every believer in this room, the stuffy, the loose, the strict, the simple, the upper church, the lower church, robes, collars, ties, three-piece suits, those in jeans, those in shorts. I'm thinking of all of us. We too, like the soldiers, we play games at the cross. We compete for members. We scramble for status. We watch for attendance. So close to the timber of the cross, but so far from the blood. We huddle around the world events, and we gripe, and we gossip, and we bicker over opinions. So close to the cross, but so far from Christ. What is interesting is that both of the thieves on the cross next to him, they insulted him. See, we usually paint one thief as being green with innocence and the other as black with guilt. But Matthew's paintbrush paints them both as foolish at the cross. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." If you are in this photograph tonight, let me remind you that Paul also said in Corinthians, "The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom." In Psalm 14:54, it says, "The fool says in his heart, 'There is no God.'" Now, the scary thing about this photo album is that all of us have probably been in one of the first two photos at some time in our lives. Out of the three photos that we're going to look at, there are really two categories of people, two types of people that are touched by the cross: those touched by chance, and then those who were touched by choice. This third photo that we're going to look at, that Matthew took for us, is those who were forgiven through the cross. And this picture can be found in verses 45 through 54. And it reads like this: From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with wine vinegar, put it on his staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all the things that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. See, honestly, this picture here, this is the only one that you want to be found in when the risen Jesus Christ returns to the earth. No one in the first two photos really were changed through the cross. But in this third photo, all understand the meaning of the cross. One person that is found in this photo is the criminal that repented. You see, back in verse 44, we see that he used to be in photo number 2. But see, that is the grace of God. You can hop out of one of those two photos into this one. The criminal was the least likely candidate, a flat-nosed ex-con asking God for eternal life. He deserves hell, but he gets heaven. Only Luke's photo album has the snapshot of the criminal asking Jesus to remember him in his Father's kingdom. And Jesus granted his request. Maybe this criminal had seen the Messiah speak. Maybe he had seen him love the lowly. Maybe he had watched Jesus hang out with punks and pickpockets and prostitutes. Or maybe he saw what he sees right now and what the centurion saw when he said, surely this was the Son of God. So what is it that they saw? What did they see? They saw a beaten, slashed, nail-suspended preacher, his face crimson with blood, his bones peeking through the torn flesh, and his body heaving for air. Any chance you could put in a good word for me? Asked the criminal. Consider it done. One of the hardest things to do is to be saved by grace. There is something in us that reacts to God's free will, to God's free gift. We have some weird compulsion to create laws and regulations, something that will make us worthy of this gift. It is pride. See, that keeps us out of this photo. To accept this grace means that we have to realize that we are helpless to save ourselves. If a picture paints 1,000 words, then the centurion and the thief on the cross, they got a dictionary full. Let me put it this way. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he lived your life, so that he could treat you as if you lived his life. Your sins are put on his account, and his perfect life is accredited to your account. So what photograph are you in tonight? Those who were forced to the cross, or maybe those who were foolish at the cross? If you are, then you need to know that God has a camera in hand right now, and he wants to take your picture, the picture of you finding forgiveness through the cross. Listen to this story. There's a story of a father and a son, and they've bonded over the past 3 years. See, the mother passed away 3 years ago from cancer. And they've grown really close through this. And the boy grows up to be a young man. And suddenly, he is drafted into the Vietnam War. The father's heart was broken, and he was lonely. A few years have passed. The father got a report that the son was killed in combat. Within a few months, there came a knock on the door. It was a young man who had his arm blown off. Beneath his good arm was a photo that was wrapped in brown paper. The young man spoke and he said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I wanted you to know that your son saved my life. He took the bullet so that I would not have to. And your son meant so much to me that I painted a picture of your son." The soldier handed the picture to the proud father. The father unwrapped it to find a badly painted picture of his son. See, the father was a wealthy man, and he collected fine art. And so what he did was he took all the Picassos and the Van Gogh paintings that he had. He took them down, and he placed the picture of his son right there in the middle. Years went by, and the father grew weak and old, and eventually he died. There was to be an auction of his house, and people from all over the world came to the estate to buy some of these famous paintings. The auctioneer started the auction with the painting of the young son. The groans swept across the crowd, people saying, "Get on with the good stuff. Take that worthless, nasty piece down." The auctioneer ignored all of them, and he said, "Who will make the first bid? $1, $1 too. Then up from the back came the old gardener, and he asked if he could buy it, for he had seen the boy grow up his whole life. The gardener bought the picture, and he began to walk down the aisle with the picture tucked under his arm. At that moment, the auctioneer slammed down the mallet and said, "Sorry, folks, the auction is over." In the will, it reads, "Whoever has the son gets it all." As we wrap it up tonight, God the Father said, whoever gets the picture of his son, his one and only son that was killed for you, gets it all. And he desires to take your picture tonight, finding forgiveness at the cross. As the worship team comes up to lead us in a song, if you have never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are in one of those first two pictures, but tonight you would like to step in to that final picture, the picture of those who have found forgiveness at the cross, then I would invite you to come forward. What picture are you in tonight?